This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Whoever's final words, Allah ilaha illallah, dakhal al jannah, will enter into paradise. This kalima is azim, is a grave word, is an immense word.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find that many Muslims, or many of us rightfully, we approach the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect ourselves or to alleviate ourselves or to spiritually uplift ourselves. And there's many places inside the Quran that we were looking at whereby the person reads these verses or reads these surahs to give them that protection, whether it be Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, Surah Al-Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi, the final two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, or whether a person reads certain specific surahs, like Surah Yusuf, some ulama mentioned, which is revealed during Amul Huzan, the year of grief and sorrow. That some ulama tafaseer, they mention when you read this surah, the 12th surah of the Quran, 111 verses, it brings about some form of alleviation. And some of these are substantiated, and some of them are just followings that people do, the practices that they have, the affiliation that they have to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is whereby we have to make a distinction between those individuals who try to follow the texts, the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and those who may, out of ignorance or out of emotional feeling, they begin to, if we can use such harsh words, begin to deviate. Because ibadah is tawqifiyah. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is codified, it's restricted. It's not based upon emotional feelings and a spiritual feeling that I read such a verse from the Quran, or I made a certain form of dhikr, remembrance, and it gave me a spiritual uplift, or it helped me or protected me. It is plausible and acceptable, as some ulama mentioned, but to make that to become mainstream practice of Islam is what makes it begin to traverse the path of innovations. That now you're saying to people that if you read this certain verse, you make this certain dhikr, or you read this certain surah, then such and such will be given to you or will be delivered to you. And this is what we have to blot out, we have to stop. Because many of this is cultural practices, and some of it is at times based upon certain narrations. But as we're going to study in today's narration, that most of these narrations are weak in nature. But people, because of their cultural practice and their spiritual affiliation, begin to cling on to certain things. As we find in this hadith in the Sunan Imam Tirmidhi, Inna li kulli shay'in qalb. Everything has a heart. Wa qalbul Quran Yasin. And the heart of the Quran is Surah Yasin. Meaning the central focal point of the Quran is Surah Yasin. Now, as we mentioned, many people have this affiliation towards Surah Yasin. But the sad thing is that many people who read this surah or read other surahs of the Quran which are not substantiated, what do they know of the message of this surah? Is it just a rhetoric of mere reading of this surah that they think they'll be alleviated? Even though that which is substantiated, Surah Al-Fatiha and other surahs of the Quran, why do some people still complain that they still feel certain ailments, certain illnesses or certain issues? When Al-Fatiha is a ruqya, is a form of alleviation for the person, a form of spiritual protection for the individual. A person who reads excessive salutations upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is a form of protection, form of excelling themselves. But why? Because the key element is a lack of understanding. How many people understand what is Surah Al-Fatiha? How many people know the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha, these seven verses that we recite at least 17 times a day? How many people have a deep comprehension of what this surah means? Or even other verses or passages of the Quran? So the form of spiritual uplift and protection and understanding will come when a person understands the Quran. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ أَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Don't they ponder and reflect over the Qur'an? Is there shackles, chains? Has their hearts been imprisoned that they're not able to decipher, break free? Because the Qur'an isn't just a book of tilawa, which is partially true, that is a book of recital, but it's a book of tafakkur, وَتَدَبُّرُ. It's a book of reflection and pondering and action in one's life. That's what the qalb is, because the qalb changes. So the Quran should change the individual. حَتَّى مِنْ مَعَانِي الْقَلْبِ. The meaning of qalb in the Arabic language is qallaba yuqallibu, to change. That's why the heart has been called the heart, because it changes, it wavers. Like now we are spiritually uplift being on Yawmul Jum'ah. As soon as we leave the doors, the heart will change. So that's the Prophet, he mentioned this dua. Allahumma thabbit qalbi ala deenik. That's why he always made that supplication. Ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. One who makes the hearts firm, make my heart to become firm upon your religion. And then another version of wording that we find, ya musarrif al qulub, sarrif qalbi ala ta'atik. The one who changes the heart, moves the hearts. Move my heart towards your obedience. Even the Quran, afrig alayna sabra. He poured down upon us patience. Where? Patience into our heart. That's where patience is. For sabrun jameel. Inside Surah Yusuf that we find in verse 18 and 83. Twice is mentioned inside there, because patience which goes into the heart is what gives the person the ability to do so many things inside their life. Because a key central factor of the human being is the heart. When the heart finds contentment, it finds peace. Inside Surah Ra'd that we find, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ لَيْ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Those who believe and have faith, they find peace and tranquility. And then Allah mentions, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Indeed, in the dhikr of Allah, تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, do hearts find peace and rest. But the thing that we need to approach the Qur'an, that the whole of the Qur'an is full of peace and contentment and full of changing the individual. If we pick up other surahs inside the Quran that we find where Allah speaks about the heart continuously, in Surah Qaf, the 50th chapter of the Quran, Qaf wal Quran al Majid. If we read through this surah, we find numerous passages inside there. Man khashiya rahmana bil ghayb wa jaa bi qalbin munib. Whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the unseen and comes with a pure heart. The Quran is always speaking about the heart being a pure element, a pure substance. Coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a pure heart. That's like Ibrahim alayhi salam. Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Yawma la yanfa'u malun wala banun. That day whereby your wealth and your children will not avail you, will not protect you, will not help you. Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Except for the one who comes with a sound heart, a pure heart. Also Allah then again mentioned Surah Qaf. Inna fi dhalika la dhikra liman kana lahu qalbun. Indeed, inside this surah, inside this Quran, this dhikr is for a person who has a heart. أو ألقى السمع وهو الشهيد. A person who pays attention, a person who pays witness towards this. So this surah in itself, and if you study Surah Qaf, the 50th chapter of the Quran, what is the main theme of that? It's all about Jannah and Nar and the end return, just like Surah Yasin. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنُّ تَحِيدُ. When the stupor of death comes, the rattling of death, it comes. That's what you was trying to avoid. That's what you was trying to run away from. And when everything comes there to present you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it highlights about the punishment of the people who go to the hellfire and those people go to paradise. So the Quran is a maw'idha. The Quran is an admonition. That's what Allah mentions inside the Quran. Ya ayyuhan nas qad ja'atkum maw'idhatum. Oh mankind, Allah doesn't say, oh Muslims, oh believing individual. Allah says, oh mankind. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِدَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَالشِّفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. There's come from your Lord an admonition, a strong warning, which is going to be a purification for you. وَالشِّفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. To purify your hearts. وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And a guidance and a mercy for the believing individuals. That's the end of Surah Qaf. It finishes by speaking about فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدِ. فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Remind people via the Qur'an مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدِ. Whoever fears the wa'id, the final punishment or final ending or the final promise. And that's why a person should be the Qur'an. That's why people ask, how can we alleviate the problems inside our lives? How can we alleviate the problems inside the world? How can we alleviate our sufferings inside Al-Akhirah? It's Al-Quran. حَذُّكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Your relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much do you read in a day? How much do you ponder in a day? How much do you reflect in a day? How much do you end your day with the Qur'an? How much do you wake up your day with the Qur'an? That's what gives the spiritual uplift and the protection for the individual throughout their life by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the surah Yasin that we find in the 36th chapter of the Quran. Whereas we mentioned that many people, they read this surah, specifically based upon the hadith, اقرأوها اقرأوها على موتاكم, or اقرأوا ياسين على موتاكم. In various wordings that we find, read this surah upon the dead individuals, or upon the dying individuals. And we can find this a customary practice in many of the masajid. You go there after Yawm al-Jum'ah, or after Asr, every Friday they read Surah Yasin. Someone passes away, they read Surah Yasin. And we're not here to question the intentions, as we mentioned. We're here to decipher and to understand that, as we began with, how many people understand this surah? How do you understand the message of this surah, what this surah contains, and what we should be practicing from this surah inside our daily lives? We find that this surah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by speaking about some of the fada'il of this surah that many people they cling on to. We find, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَلْبٍ وَقَلْبُ الْقُرْآنِ يَسِينَ. Everything has a heart, a central station, and a central focal point of the Qur'an. The heart of the Qur'an is Surah Yasin. وَمَنْ قَرَأَ يَسِينَ كُتِبَ لَهُ بِقَرَاءَتِهَا قِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ بِعَشْرَ مَرَّاتٍ. Whoever reads Surah Yasin will be given the reward of reciting the Qur'an 10 times over. Likewise, you find, مَنْ قَرَأَ يَسِينَ فِي لَيْلَ أَصْبَحَ مَغْفُورٌ لَهُ. Whoever reads Surah Yasin in the night, it will be forgiven that individual. As a side point before I continue, all these narrations, they are all weak. They are all weak. So one shouldn't listen to these narrations and think that we are trying to support the view of reading Surah Yasin. These are the common narrations that exist inside society that they follow to try to prove their belief that the reading of Surah Yasin is some form of alleviation. مَنْ قَرَأَ سُورَ يَاسِينَ فِي لَيْلَةٍ ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ غُفِرَ لَهُ. Whoever reads Surah Yasin seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that individual will be forgiven. مَنْ دَاوَمَ عَلَىٰ قِرَاءَةِ سُورَ يَاسِينَ. Whoever continues in a practice reading Surah Yasin, that individual who dies that night will die in the form of a martyr. Another word that you find, يَاسِين لِمَا قُرِيَتْ لَهُ. Yasin is for whatever purpose it is read for. So whatever purpose that you read it for, it's there, it will help you. This narration is not even a narration. هو موضوع لا أصل له. As Imam Sakhawi, he mentions, there's no foundation for it. That's a distinction of people of hadith. It's not just a visual display of hadith. It's trying to encourage people to decipher what are the correct words of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. To read certain al-mawdu'at of Ibn al-Jawzi, of a collection of weak fabricated narrations which have been attributed to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. As Imam Muslim inside his Muqaddam, he mentions that this deen is a form of imana, amana, a form of trust. Let every one of you see whom they take their deen, their religion from. That's what Ibn Sirin, he mentioned inside there, that if we didn't follow the concept of following men, the narrations of men, we would follow any individual. That's why you find chains of narration of following different companions to followers, to find the authenticity. Are these really the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Because we find that man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adu minan nar. Whoever attributes a lie to me, let him take his seat in the hellfire. It's not trivial. There's some people say, oh, well, it could possibly be a hadith. It has a good meaning. It has a good spiritual uplift. The Prophet ﷺ, he warned that whoever attributes to me a statement and it's a lie, it's a fabrication, it's not true, it's not authenticated, let that person take their seat inside the hellfire. And that's all that we're trying to encourage the different imams and the clerics, that follow a path of authenticity. A path of authenticity of the Quran and Sunnah. Look at how many non-Muslims they come towards Islam. Do they come to Islam because of our cultural practices? No, they don't. Maybe a few may be enticed by our cultural display of our language and our food and a certain dress. But most of them come to Islam. Why? Because they see the purity. They see the orthodox Islam. They see the light. They see this is what they've been searching for. People have been in Christianity for 30, 40, 50 years, lost, engrossed in trying to decipher the shirk. Trying to decipher it. They don't understand it. What does it mean? The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are yet one. Or Jesus died for our sins. They're lost in this. And we don't want to display that message. We have the Quran. We don't want to promote it to them. We want to promote a cultural understanding towards them. That's why when they hear just even trinkets of the Quran, what happens to them? That's why even the Quran mentioned that people, Ahlul Kitab, when they hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ترى أعينهم تفيد من الدمع مما عرفوا من الحق. You see that their eyes begin to shed tears. They begin to weep. Read the story of Najashi in Sahih al-Bukhari, the leader of Abyssinia. Read about him, this individual who became a Muslim, and the Prophet ﷺ prayed upon him, the only Salatul Ghaib, the only Salat of funeral prayer of absence that the Prophet ﷺ ever prayed in his life was for the king of Najash, of Abyssinia. That the impact of the Quran, even then the Quran, read it. He heard the Quran in Arabic, which was translated for him. One of his followers translated the Arabic to him, and he wept at the impact of the Quran. And imagine if a person understands the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the impact it have upon the individual. Other such fabricated narrations that we find, whoever recites this surah comes to the graveyards and recites this surah, خُفِّفَ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ وَكَانَ بِعَدَدْ مَنْ فِيهَا حَسَنَاتٍ. Whoever comes to the graveyards and recites this surah, it will become a form of alleviation for those dead individuals according to how many are inside that graveyard. That's why you could see why people flock to the graveyards. They read Surah Yasin at the graves. They read it on dead people. Another narration or another wording it mentions, whoever reads it comes to their parents' grave and reads Surah Yasin. It will be a form of alleviation for their parents. As for the most famous narration, as we mentioned, read Surah Yasin ala mawtakum. فَهَذَا هُوَ أَقْوَى الْحَدِيثِ, the most strongest hadith, meaning the strongest out of all these that we've mentioned. But it's still not authentic. It's still not authentic. But we can just accept this one wording or this one hadith, that to recite Surah Yasin ala mawtakum, to recite it upon your dead. What does it mean, ala mawtakum? Many of the ulama go to review ala mawtakum, as Imam An-Nawawi in Faidul Qadiri mentions, fi waqt al-mawt. That read this surah when a person is dying. And even then, as we began with, if you recall, we said these are personal preferences or practices. Even Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he mentions that Imam Ahmad mentioned that read this surah when a person is leaving his dunya. And he also mentioned it may become, wallahu a'lam, a form of alleviation, a form of rahmah, because what this surah, what it contains. So once again, if you do this practice, you cannot say that this will definitely alleviate the suffering of the dead individuals. And even Arabic language, mawtakum, carries the meaning. When the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, laqinu mawtakum la ilaha illallah bi la ilaha illallah. Give your dead individuals the remembrance of la ilaha illallah, not your dead individuals, the dying individuals. That when a person is dying, remind them of the kalima of la ilaha illallah. لأن من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. Whoever's final words لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة will enter into paradise. This kalima is azim, is a grave word, is an immense word. That's what Allah said inside Surah Ibrahim, يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت. Allah will give affirmation to those individuals who believe. بقول الثابت. Imam Sa'di inside his tafsir, he mentions قول الثابت هو قول لا إله إلا الله. That when you're dying, that your heart will resonate with لا إله إلا الله. Your mind will resonate with لا إله إلا الله. Your tongue will resonate with لا إله إلا الله. Your heart will resonate with that. And then when you're lifted and you're taken, then your whole body will resonate with لا إله إلا الله. It won't resonate with people chanting لا إله إلا الله around your grave, around your body. That won't alleviate you. But when your own soul, your own body, your own mind, that's what you find ibadah, as Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, is that ibadah is when you submit yourself to Allah wholeheartedly, zahiran wa batinan, externally and internally, you've submitted yourself to Allah. That is ibadah. At-tadhallul, to degrade yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress His servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that His servants who submit to Him, who remember Him. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forget those people? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those people say, our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. وَعَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. Do you think Allah is going to forget those individuals who say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ. Our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then they remain steadfast upon that. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Angels will descend upon them and say to them, don't fear, don't grieve. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. Have glad tidings of paradise for that which you've been promised to you. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows His ibad. That's why you find in one hadith it mentioned that person could be full of so many sins. And then one parchment is bought. One strand of paper, one, today's language, a scrap of paper is bought. And the person says, what is this scrap of paper? What will this do for me? My sins are so many. The scales have been tipped towards, going towards Jahannam. This one parchment will be bought. And they'll be told to open this parchment. When you open this parchment, it says, La ilaha illallah. Placed on the scales. And what will do, it tip it towards the path of paradise. That is La ilaha illallah. That even a person may have lived a life of ma'asi and dhunub and sins. Not that we encourage that, but when that person has that conviction, has that belief, it will go a long way in bringing them closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find inside this surah that we find the main concept is about al-ba'th wa nushur, about resurrection, about the attacks of shaitan upon Bani Adam, about Jannah wa nar. This is the main theme of Surah Yasin that we find. That's what Allah mentioned, Yasin. Well, Quran al-Hakim. As the ulama begin to discuss, what does Yasin mean, this Meccan surah? The 36th surah of the Quran. Towards the end of the 22nd juz and filtering over into the 23rd juz. Some of them say that Yasin is from amongst the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others say that Yasin is the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Because after it mentions, innaka lamina al-mursaleen. And also based upon inside surah Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. Some ulama say Taha, the 20th chapter of the Quran, is the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. It's one view that exists there. But and others say that Yasin, bima'na loga al-habashir, as Ibn Kathir mentions, ya insan. Imam Shawkani says, ya rajul. And there could be some element of truth in this because most of the ayat inside this surah are speaking to the human being. But the most accurate view about what does Yasin mean? What do these letters mean that we mentioned time and time again? It shows ijazul Qur'an, the miraculous nature of the Qur'an. Whenever you find these haruf, Yasin, Qaf, Sad, Alif, Lam, Mim, Ha, Mim, you find that in general, everywhere that these letters are used, it speaks about the Qur'an, except for two places inside the Qur'an, if my memory serves correct, inside Surah Al-Ankabut and Surah Al-Rum. And that throughout the Qur'an, whenever these letters are mentioned, it will speak about the Qur'an. As if this is a challenge to the people that tried to create something like the Quran. But if we took the view that Yasin, as we said, partially through speaking about the human being, or khitab towards the human being that we find, where Allah begins and speaks about the human being. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّ خَلَقْنَوْ مِن نُطْفَةٍ. Does not the human being see that we created it from semen? فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Look at the language of the Quran. Allah says that, does not the human being see what he's been created from? فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. And he begins to become an open denier, open rejecter, open one who tries to challenge, forget about humanity. He's trying to challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah lays out these challenges that this human being makes. And we could decipher inside this surah. Allah mentions, subhanallah, خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا. Glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created everything in pairs. مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ وَمِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. You know, some of us, we think the Qur'an is away from the modern world. Just read the Qur'an. Study the Qur'an. The Qur'an says, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. Inside Surah Al-Imran, Allah says, the man is not like the woman. خلاص. لا نقاش. There's no need to debate and discuss with the people. Read the Qur'an. Know the book of Allah. The Qur'an says, the man is not like the woman. There's clear distinction. There's a distinction between the man and the woman. Allah here inside the Quran says, glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created everything in pairs. From the world of botany, of plants, from your own cells and that which you don't know. The essence of a human being, the essence of animals, the essence of the plant world is a relationship or the development between a male and a female. That's it. That's how simple Islam is. We don't need to go into other elements. If we know the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it strengthens our belief. It strengthens what we believe in. The world may place these attacks upon us. That no, the man can change over to a woman. The woman can change to a man. And the person can be and no identity at all. All of this that we find inside the world around us. But the Quran gives a simple answer. Glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created everything inside pairs. And then this human being, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَقِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. This human being that we traverse him on this journey, we give him this life, نُنَقِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. The human being, you've had all this ample time to live in this dunya. أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And what happens? نُنَقِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ بِمَعْنَى الضَّعْفِ. That when you follow your life as a human being, from being in a state of weakness on the beginning of birth to how you develop inside your life towards the end of your life, this is all a symbol that we're prolonging your life or giving you ample life for what? أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Why don't you reflect and ponder over this? Because an intelligent individual is one who sees the mistakes of the world, sees the mistakes of people, sees the mistakes or the wrongdoings around them. That's what you call aqil. That's what you call an intelligent individual who doesn't follow the same path that what everybody else may be following. If you obey most of the people on the face of this earth, you'll diluka an sabilillah. If you follow most of the people on the face of this earth, they will take you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the human being. Alam ahad ilaykum ya bani Adam, alla ta'budu shaytan. Was you not given the warning? Was you not made the covenant that you will not worship shaitan? Worship shaitan doesn't mean here that you worship the devil that some people that they do. It means that Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir mentions to follow the path of shaitan, to follow sins, to follow vices. You've been told not to carry out these things. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Indeed, he's a clear enemy towards you. وَنِعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. And worship only me. Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the straight path. And then Allah mentioned that this human being, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. He tries to make this parable between himself and the creator. وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. When he forgets his own creation. Once again, challenging God around us that we find. And Allah mentioned, or denying the final day. قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيَ الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. Who's going to bring life to these dead bones when they're rotten, they're dust? And we find these cliches in the world around us, even amongst some Muslims, that there's no akhirah. There's no last day. That's why, as we mentioned many times, most of the Quran is al-ba'th wal-nushur. Most of the Quran is about resurrection. Even when the Quran speaks about sending down the rain and giving vegetation to the plants, and here inside Surah Yasin, what is it trying to refer to? It speaks about a concept of resurrection, of giving life to the dead. قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. Say, the one who gives life the first time is going to give it life once again. And another place in the Quran, وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. It's something simple and easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the end of this surah, كُنْ فَيَكُونْ. Be and it is. No one should think that they can escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, so in one narration it mentioned from Bani Israel, this person who said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to resurrect me, he'll punish me so much. So he said to his children that when I die, cremate me. When I die, cremate me. And this isn't an evidence for cremation. You can speak about Bani Israel. A golden rule of hadith. Whenever it says that somebody from Bani Israel done this action, doesn't become hujjah. Doesn't become evidence. It's speaking about them, the action that they've done. So he said that when I die, cremate me. And then take my ashes and throw them on the edge of the ocean, of the shore on a windy day. Do this to me. So they done that to this individual. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this individual together and said to him, ask him, why did you do this? Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows why he done this. Because I feared your punishment. That you're going to punish me in such and such a manner. So I feared you're going to punish me. But if this individual become drops of ashes and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this individual together and brought him forth, no individual should think that they can be scout free or flee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. Then Allah describes the hereafter. فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. They come out of ajdath, come out of their qubur. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. يَنِي يَسْرَعُونَ. They come racing towards their Lord. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. When a trumpet is blown, that's the end of the world. There's two blowings of the trumpet. The first blowing and then the second blowing, that's the end. Everything will be destroyed. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَ وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everything will perish except for the sublime face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا. People are going to say, who brought us out of the graves? Why have you come out of the graves? هَذَا مَا وَعْدَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. As for the believers, they say, this is what Allah has promised, Ar-Rahman has promised, and this is what the messengers, they highlighted as well. Everything about the individual. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Everything about the individual, فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ بِمَعْنَى كِتَابٌ مُبِينٍ. Everything about our life is documented. It's a scripture. If a person makes tawbah, then it's blotted out. Some narration mentions when a person commits a sin, and within 6 hours a person repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's blotted out. Person thinks of a sin and doesn't do that sin, Allah gives that individual a good deed. Look at the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if, may Allah forbid, if a person is doomed on that day, they're doomed because totally of their own actions. That Allah is saying that if you sin and you seek my repentance, I will wipe it out. Says to the angels, blot it out, rub it out. If you even think of a sin and you don't do it, I'll give you a good deed. But yet if we still begin to try to earn sins, then who can we blame? At-takalluf ala nafsik. Person can only blame their own self. If a person doesn't work in the morning, person doesn't earn a career, doesn't seek an education, at the end of their life, who can they blame? Who can you blame? You can't blame your parents. You can't blame your family. You can't blame the society around you. If you reach the end of your life and you haven't achieved anything inside your life, whether it be things of the dunya, you can only blame. فَلَا تَمُولُنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسِكَ. Don't blame except for your own self. And likewise, even more so inside al-akhirah. That person can only blame their own selves, as this surah is trying to highlight. And some people may think that maybe I can conceal myself. Allah says, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَائِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. On that day, Allah will make their bodily parts to speak and to testify against them. So a person may think, you know, I'll remain silent. When I stand in front of Allah, I'll be silent. Allah says that you try to be silent on that day, then your bodily parts will testify, speak against you. Everything about your body will speak about you. It may sound strange, but it's not strange. It's not strange because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change what we see as normality on this earth to be something different. Allah will drag people on their faces, make people walk on their faces to Jahannam. We're used to seeing people walking on their feet. We think that's the normality. But inside al-akhirah, everything will change. So bodily parts will begin to testify against the individual. And then the contrast of paradise and hell. Allah will say, هَذِي جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ. This is the Jahannam that you were promised. إِسْلَوْهَا الْيَوْمَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. إِسْلَوْهَا أُدْخُلُوهَا. Allah will now say, enter. Enter into Jahannam because of your disbelief, your rejection, and your evil action towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentioned the opposite. إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمِ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. People of paradise will be rejoicing. Will be in a state of happiness and felicity. قِيلَ دُخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ. When it speaks about the three individuals inside this surah, there were two messages we strengthened with the third one. This individual is then killed or harmed. And he's entered into paradise. It said to him, قِيلَ دُخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Enter into paradise. Ulama here said, this paradise isn't paradise of al-akhirah. This paradise, قِيلَ دُخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ. This paradise is where? In the qabrihi, inside his grave. That's what ulama made istidlal, that the punishment of grave, al-jannah wal-nar, is not al-akhirah. Al-jannah wal-nar fil-qabr. Paradise and hellfire begins for every single one of us inside the grave. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we began with, speaks about the Qur'an being a maw'idah, being an admonition, and for reviving the souls and reviving the hearts. Inside this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, this Qur'an is nothing but a dhikr and a clear explanation that this Qur'an is, لِيُنْذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا وَيْحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And it is a reminder for those individuals, a warning for those individuals, man kana hayyan. As we began the surah with one who is living, one who has life. So we can safely conclude that the Quran is a guidance for the living individuals. There's no harm in going. We're not here to denounce a person shouldn't go and pray for their parents. Or if they want to, as we mentioned, read some Quran, I personally feel they want to read some Quran, but don't take that as an Islamic evidence that this is something a legal practice to do. But we should visit the graves of our parents, visit the graveyard to remember, remind us about death. And we should make dua. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Make dua for our brethren who've preceded us in faith. Make dua for them. Likewise, when we're in our salah. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ دُعَى رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. By default, you're praying for your parents. Every day that you pray, that's why people say, they always come and ask us, give us a wird, give us some dhikr, give us something from the Quran that I can help my parents. The simple answer. Live a path of obeying Allah. Your daily salah, 17 times a day, at least you are praying for your parents. You are praying for your parents. That's why we find that, as we mentioned, nothing lately is left behind for individual except for what? Awladuhu. In a hadith it mentions, well, awlad min kasbihi. Your awlad are from your earnings. Your earnings, you have your empire, you have your property, you have your world. Here it means your kasb isn't the wealth. Your kasb is your children, your lineage. If they are salihin, if they're righteous children, then by default, every single day, what will they do? They will pray for you. Every single day they will be, by default, praying for you in their daily life. That's what we need to nurture inside our lives. That yet, just like we began, we nourish everything in the world, nourish our souls. The soul, if it's nourished, the heart which is nourished, which has the Quran inside there, it will go a long way. Even people who memorize the Quran, people say, what's the point in memorizing the Quran at a young age? Most children don't know what they're doing. But many ulama mention, because their heart at that moment isn't receptive, their mind isn't built to understand. But just learn the Quran. Because the majority of people who learned the Quran, who studied the Quran, who were taught some elements of Tawheed, the majority of those people will always return back to that. Somewhere along the line, it will return them back. Because that's the power of the Quran. That's the power of belief. That's the power of the prayer of one's parents, one's children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the call of those individuals. And as we find a similar meaning, Tanzeel al-Aziz al-Rahim, that this Quran is a revelation. لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنذِرَ آبَاهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. That this Quran is a warning for those people that came before and you individuals as well. And a person, when they read the Quran, and we mentioned you approach the Quran, that Allah changed my situation. Help me inside my life. Give me affirmation. Establish my iman, my faith, my trials, my tribulations, my difficulties, my obstacles, my hardships. The answer is there. Allah says inside the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Yes, it could be at times tedious. It could be a hard journey. But Allah knows when is the right time. كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Be and it is. That's it. So sometimes Allah may make a person traverse a long, difficult path. And for some, it may be just a short path. But Allah will give each individual. That's what each individual can see. If we speak about spirituality, can see sufferings in their own life, hardships in their own life, how Allah brings each individual out, whether it be temptations or trials or hardships. That when a person has that contentment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that brings them out. For subhanalladhi biyadi malakutu kulli shay wa ilayhi turja'oon. Glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everything lies in His hands. Wa ilayhi turja'oon, and everything returns back to Him. And what is it for us to do inside our society? And this surah mentions, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. We're here to just convey the message. We're not here to condemn people or to defile people or to throw people in the hellfire, which has become a cliche of many of the young individuals. That's all that their life is about. Condemnation, damnation, placing people here and there. That's not what the message of the Quran is. That's not what your life should be.
In alayka illa al-balagh. For you just to convey, just to remind the people, to encourage the people. As we find, when the more that person does the right form of advice to people, as we find, al-qawl min al-qalb yadkhul ila al-qalb. Advice from the heart goes into the heart. That's why an-nasiha, even studied linguistically, what everybody goes, I gave the person advice. What is nasiha? Nasiha is shay'un khalis, something which is pure, like honey which is pure. That's why a form of honey which is pure, that your advice is pure, that you want khair, you want good for the individual. It's not there to defame people or make people look bad inside their lives. It's there to encourage all of us in that journey, in that return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to help each, every single one of us, that the good things that every person possesses inside their life, being a Muslim, is that we rub off and we learn from one another. We learn from one another, we benefit from one another to become better individuals. That we rejoice in this world as brethren, and we rejoice inside al-akhirah as brethren. We don't want to be those individuals rejoicing in the akhirah, and we ask that, where is so-and-so? That's what some ulama mentioned, when the souls, when they meet, and they ask, where is so-and-so? They say, he died. He died some time ago. So the souls, they conclude. They say, if we didn't meet this individual, we didn't see this individual, then unfortunately the conclusion is that this individual has gone where? It's gone to Jahannam. Has gone to Jahannam. That we didn't see this individual. We don't want to be those individuals that we're heading towards that path, or we end up into that path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to be able to understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to implement it inside our lives, make the Quran to become a form of intercession for us inside our lives. As we come to a build-up of Ramadan, a person should develop their wird of the Quran, their daily recital of the Quran, that when they enter into Ramadan, it becomes something easy for them to read at least one juz every single day. By the end of Ramadan, they've read the whole Quran. Or they read it in a language that they understand, that they completed the whole reading of the Quran as we approach Ramadan. And I can safely say, unfortunately, that many of us probably haven't touched the Quran since last Ramadan. That some of us may possibly have not touched the Quran since last Ramadan, and it's only a month or so to go, and Ramadan will enter upon us once again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the